We'd like to pick back up there in John chapter 9 here this afternoon. We'd like to begin reading verse 39 and make some remarks concerning the purpose, or one of the purposes of Jesus' coming into this world. John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Now, this deserves a lot more study than I have given it thus far. And we're going to hit just some high points here and maybe come back and revisit some of these things later. But there are some things here that to the casual reader perhaps might give us a little consternation. And what I mean by that is when you read there the phrase, "For judgment I am come into this world," if you didn't read any more in that verse, that might give you a little pause and think, well, you know, I think I remember reading somewhere earlier in John about where he said he did not come to judge this world. If you'll remember there in John 3 in verse 17, he said this, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And then perhaps you remember reading in John chapter 5 and verse 22, I think it is, where he says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So, you know, in one verse looks like there's judgment is committed to the Son. Maybe He's come to judge the world. But then another text says He's not come to condemn the world, which is an act of judgment. And so you might think, well, what does He mean by this? Of course, you understand, as I'm sure, that there are no contradictions in Scripture. So He's not contradicting Himself in between verses or chapter 3 and verse 17, and what he says here in John 9 and 39, that "For judgment I am come into this world." There is a good, you know, a perfect harmony here with these two verses. So, in the context of what we read here in verse 39, I think it's fairly clear what he has under consideration. The judgment that he has under consideration relates to what we see and what we don't see. Okay? In fact, it's more in the ability to see and being blind. Okay? So, and hopefully we'll be able to explain what we mean by that here in just a moment. So Jesus says, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Jesus was never at a loss for any illustrations. The blind man made able to see is a perfect illustration. He's an allegory of what he is teaching in this verse. This man, of course, you understand, was born blind. But now Jesus has made him able to see. This is naturally speaking, of course. All right? But in just as we said this morning, just as true as that is, that he was made him able to see naturally speaking, he also made him able to see spiritually speaking. In fact, not only did he make him able to see, give him eyes that he was able to see, Jesus showed him some things that he didn't see before. Okay? And we talked about that at the close of the service this morning. So, Jesus here, he has a perfect illustration to illustrate what he's talking about here. There are those that, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, there are those who claim that they have understanding. They have spiritual, biblical understanding. The Pharisees were just such a group of people. In fact, as I was thinking about this afternoon, I thought about how many times I myself have used the phrase, "I know." You ever say that to mom or dad? They are trying to teach you something, and maybe you've heard the lesson taught many times before, but they're teaching the lesson again. And the reason they're teaching the lesson again is because in all those times before, you haven't got the lesson. And you, tired of hearing it taught again, you say, "I know. I know. I know." Well, you really don't know. Because if we did, it wouldn't be necessary to repeat the lesson, right? I wonder if the Jews here, the Pharisees, had that attitude. "You can't teach me anything. I know it all already." Yeah. All right? And in their arrogance, "I know," they were blinded to the truth of who Jesus is. Okay? In fact, in the case with Israel, there was a judicial blindness brought upon that nation. All right? And that's what, if you'll go back and read in your free time there, if you'll read Romans 9, 10, and 11, there is an explanation of that judicial blindness that happened upon Israel. There were two reasons why that blindness came. One was because of their own unbelief, their rebellion, their disobedience against God. The second reason was so that the fullness of the Gentiles might be brought in. I won't go and give you all the goody-goody of that. You can go back and read that for yourself later on. But the point there is that blindness in part, okay, upon Israel was because of their own rebellion against God. If you'll read Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, you'll understand. You'll see the link there was with their blindness to the rebellion. Their rebellion brought about their blindness. In fact, you remember when Paul comes before a group of Jews there in Rome at the end of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. He cites several prophecies concerning their own blindness. And one of the things that he says in quotation to those things that would come upon them, this judicial blindness, he would say, "Their eyes have they closed." The blindness came upon them. God sent the blindness upon them. But their blindness was because of their own rebellion. You remember the prayer that Paul made for Israel. "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He's not talking about an eternal salvation. He's not talking about them gaining eternal life. He's talking about gaining the knowledge of the salvation that there is in Jesus Christ. And he goes to elaborate more about how they went about to establish their own righteousness by the deeds of the law and had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so, not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, they were in this bondage, this very sore and grievous bondage, trying to establish a righteousness acceptable to God. And Paul prayed that they might be delivered from that. At any rate, the point of that is that the Pharisees claimed to have knowledge. They claimed to have understanding. They claimed to know everything there was to know about the Messiah. And they, in their arrogance and in their pride, when the Messiah came, they didn't recognize Him for who He was. They were blind to the truth of who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God. But those who were blind, okay, who were sensible of their blindness, and you see this illustrated in the man, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" He acknowledges his own ignorance, if you will, his own blindness as to who the Son of God is. And here, a man who acknowledges his blindness is made able to see who he is. Do you see how that, I mean, that's pretty easy, isn't it? He is made able to see who the Son of God is. Voila, there he is all the time. I was thinking about this earlier this morning, how, you know, I tried to illustrate this morning how that Jesus, our God, is in our presence right now. But for His presence is veiled. We don't see Him with the natural eye. We don't see Him with the carnal eye. The only way we can see Him at present is with the eye of faith. He's here, we don't see Him, but we do see Him by the eye of faith. We're looking beyond the temporal and looking at the eternal. Now, I can't see Him again with the natural eye, but I see Him with the spiritual eye. I would at some point, and I know that it will happen. It's going to happen. One day it's going to happen. Glory, glory, hallelujah, it's going to happen. One day, the veil is going to be taken away. And as Brother Dewey pointed out, we're going to see Him face to face. And what a day that's going to be. Amen? But, you know, sometimes I wished that we could see now even more clearly. We could see not through a glass darkly, but see Him face to face now. Isn't that kind of strange? We see Him face to face, but as Paul puts it in the Corinthian letter, through a glass darkly. I've heard brethren in past times talk about, you know, how that, you know, the glass that they had in windows many years ago is not like the glass we have today. Eventually, that glass, it would darken. And you could see that there was someone on the other side of the glass, but you really couldn't make out who it was. We see Jesus now through a glass darkly. We know we're looking at Jesus, but there's not a lot that we can recognize about Jesus. What we know about Jesus, we read in the Scriptures. God illuminates the eyes of our understanding. He makes open to our understanding things that we read in the Scriptures. Yet, there's so much we don't see. I was sharing with Sister Kathy, you know, the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119 is that one of the prayers was, "Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." When we go to the Scripture, we want the Lord to open our eyes that we can see more clearly. When you recognize your own blindness, then God, in His time, gives you sight for judgment. "I am come into the world, into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." There's a lot more I'd like to talk about the subject of judgment, but I'm going to save that for another time. Verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said..." See, again, I told you this morning that there were more people there than just Jesus and the man that was aforetime blind. There you go. "And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, Are we blind also?" They say this not like, wait, you know, am I confused? I thought we... Maybe I don't... No, there's not the way there. They're saying this like, "You're condemning us." They're kind of getting a clue here. He's talking about us when He's talking about those who see being made blind. And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin." Do you wonder what He means by that? Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Okay, think about the Pharisees just a minute. They said, they claimed in their arrogant pride, in their unregeneracy, they claimed, We know everything that needs to be known about the Messiah. We know Jesus ain't He. We know He's not Him. All right? He can't. It's not possible that Jesus is the Christ. You remember this same group of individuals. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Ye are of your father the devil. If ye were of God, you would hear my words. You would understand. But you're not of God, so therefore you don't understand." Jesus said to that same group of people, He said, "Ye are yet in your sins." And He said yet again, "Ye shall die in your sins." Now Jesus says to the same group of individuals, "Your sin remaineth." Those who are cognizant of their blindness, those who are cognizant of their ignorance, those who understand, "I have very little understanding," it is they whose sins have been taken away by the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. But those who say, "Hey, I'm all right. You know, I'm okay. I don't have any need for a Savior. I have no sins to be taken away." Your sin remaineth. You're blind. You don't see. And the worst part about it is, you don't know you're blind. As I think about that, it just occurred to me, you perhaps remember the Church of the Laodiceans? Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans, and I'll start reading in verse 15. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and listen, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." I read that so that you understand that you too, even though having been born of the Spirit of God, can be blind and be ignorant of your blindness. Never think that you have all the understanding, that you're just all, that you're okay. That's the attitude that the Laodiceans had. And Jesus tells them, "Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." You don't know that you're wretched. You don't know that you're blind. You don't know that you're miserable and naked. But anoint thine eyes with eye salve. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Jesus opens our eyes when we know we're blind. But Jesus blinds those who claim they can see. There's more perhaps we should say about this. Let me just tag this on there. Jesus, you remember, starting at about chapter 12 of Matthew, maybe chapter 13. Maybe it's chapter 13. Jesus, in chapter 13, began to speak unto the people in parables. And after he had talked about the parable of the sower and all that sort of thing, he gave the parable of the sower. The disciples later asked him what the parable meant. And they asked him, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said this, unto you, you who are inquiring, ye who know your ignorance, who understand your blindness, unto you it is given to know the mysteries, the things that are hidden, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, it is not given. He spoke in parables to hide the things of the kingdom of God from them. But to the disciples who don't understand and but want to understand, to them it was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. May we all exhibit that same desire to know more of the kingdom of God, to know more of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.